Good morning. It is again great to see everyone this morning. We do have some birthdays we get to celebrate this week. You can be opening your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 17. We'll be there in just a moment. Walker, how old? 13. Oh man, you have another teenager in the house. Walker Bergman is going to be 13 tomorrow, so make sure you wish him a happy birthday. Joe Long celebrates a birthday on Tuesday, so make sure you wish Joe a happy birthday as well. And David Glenn has a birthday on Wednesday, so we have some birthdays that we get to celebrate this week, and I would invite you to make sure that you take the time to celebrate those birthdays with them. Jeremiah 17 is where we're going to be this morning. If you'll recall, we have been looking at, we started in Psalm 1, the psalm that sets the tone for all the rest. The rest of 149 psalms get set off of that one. Blessed, happy is the man. And those three things we looked at that he doesn't do. He doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the path of sinners. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, the God mockers, right? Instead, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in it he meditates day and night. What's it do for him? Verse 3 tells us he's like a tree that's been planted by the waters. And what he receives is that feeding at all times. What he receives is, regardless of the circumstance of life, this man is happy. This person is blessed. They're happy because I don't care what else happens to me. And I understand at times it's difficult for us to understand that. Maybe. Same time, if you're a Christian, do you not know what we have to look forward to? And it does help. I'm not saying it erases everything that happens and all that goes on, but oh, how exciting it is to be a child of God, to understand that we get to be fed by Him at all times when we meditate on His Word. It's Him who talks to us. He is the one who gives that divine instruction. He is the one who tells us what it is to be pleasing to Him and how we can live our lives, how we can be that blessed person. And so carry that through here to Jeremiah chapter 17, beginning in verse number 7. Notice here, Jeremiah writes, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit." Man, how exciting is it to read those words, blessed. Now I want you to think about this. We're going to look at rejoicing, what it is to rejoice, and we're going to look at being happy, what it is to be happy. How we can be happy. We've looked at that already in the past several weeks here in Psalm 1. But I want to look, thinking about planted. Now, a lot of you have planted trees. My kids, I remember even when I was a kid, coming home with a tree. And my dad being like, great. Something else from school that we've got to do, right? And I remember this tree, I picked the perfect place in our yard. It was in the front yard. Okay, now we lived on, just like we do here, we lived on a gravel road. Now that gravel road was a lot longer than a mile, okay? But we lived on that gravel road, a quarter mile off of Highway 160, as a matter of fact. Everything comes full circle sometimes, doesn't it? But in Winfield, Kansas, about 5 hours from here, I lived a quarter of a mile off that same road, that same highway that gets cleaned when it snows, and these don't, but did then too, just so you know. That quarter of a mile was treacherous sometimes, but I grew up off of that same highway. You drive by our house, and then I had this spot picked out, this tree that was going to go there that I got home, and you know what I did? I went out with a rake, and I raked that spot out, and I took a shovel, and I cleared off the grass on top, and man, I was ready to go. Dad got home, and I said, I've already got the spot picked out. Okay. So we went out, and we dug that hole. We made it be the right size, and we got the ground all broken up so that those roots would be able to take root and that they would be able to spread out. And that tree, oh, it's going to be such a glorious tree in our front yard. And it was mine. It was my tree. Well, I watered it every day. And it was growing and doing really good. It was my turn to mow the yard. So I mowed the yard. And I was doing a really good job. But I was mowing the yard at night. You know what I did to that tree? I was heartbroken. I mowed right over that thing. And I know the moment I did, because it wasn't small. Okay, it had grown out a little bit. And I mowed right over the top of that thing, and I killed it. And I went back out there with a shovel, and I dug it up, and I threw it in the ditch. Because I was mad at it. It was my fault. I'd taken all that care, all that care. Sometimes I think about God. Do you see this man in verse 7? Notice who he is. He's blessed. Why? Why is he blessed? What does he do? Well, first and foremost, he trusts in the Lord. Look at Nahum 1. That's a book we turn to often, isn't it? Nahum 1. Verse number 7. Now Nahum, this is his burden, right? What he has to, his oracle, his prophecy. He has to talk to this place called Nineveh. We heard of that before? Maybe with Jonah? Notice verse number 7. Nahum writes, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And who knows, and he knows those who," what? "Trust in him." You see it? When we read verses like this, it's just we don't ever go to Nahum. That's why we went there today. There are a lot of verses like this. The psalmist will write about that fact that the Lord is that present help in times of trouble, right? That stronghold, that refuge for us to be able to count on. Here he is. Nahum writes, "The Lord." Notice who he is. He's good. He's a stronghold. And here's the incredible part, the most important part. He knows those who trust in him. He knows them. That person that does, blessed, happy. Because God knows them. They put their trust in him. They don't turn to the side. They're going to stay true to him at all times. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 22 and think about these words. 2 Samuel chapter 22. David is the one that speaks this. He is the one who is speaking to the Lord. And it corresponds and goes back as well to Psalm 18. But here in 2 Samuel 22, go down to verse 29. David's the one that speaks this. And if you back up for just a moment, in verse 2, he said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer." Okay? He's my strength. He's the one. It's him in whom I will, notice, verse 3, trust. But you go down to verse number 29. David speaking again, "For you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord shall enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, but my God, I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him." You see him say there that, back up to verse 30, by my God, I can leap over a wall. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, the psalmist writes. Here, you are my lamp, O Lord. You enlighten my way. You light up the darkness. On my darkest day, I can count on you. You're my shield. You're the shield for everyone who trusts in you. That's who God is. This man, if you go back to Jeremiah 17 for just a moment, this man is blessed who trusts in the Lord. He's happy. It's where he finds his source of happiness. That source isn't from anything man-made. It's not from anything that we can collect and be able to gather together. here in this life. God's the source. Blessed the man who puts his trust in the Lord. That's where we always need to make sure that we put our trust. In fact, one thing that stands out, before you go to Jeremiah, keep your finger there. Go to 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Hold your finger at Jeremiah 17. We're going to go back and forth there. Put your Bible marker or whatever. We think about trusting in God at all times. This is one of those that stands out. Here, beginning in verse 3, Timothy writes, or Paul writes to Timothy, telling him, honor widows who are really widows. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. Notice verse 5. Now she, who is really a widow, left alone, trusts in God and continues in supplication and prayers night and day. And you see the contrast in verse 6? But she who lives in pleasure, indulgence, is dead while she lives. You see where she puts her trust? This trust, trust in God, is not something that lasts or comes only when things are difficult or things are going hard for us. Oftentimes, God becomes, in the lives of most people, the contingency plan. If all else fails, then I'm going to turn to God. If all else isn't going my way, or if I can't get this figured out on my own, then I'm going to turn to God. Anybody ever been there? I have. I've been that guy. I'm the one who can get through this. I'm the one who is going to have us taken care of. I'm the one. Me, me, me. You know, when things start to continue to go wrong, that's when God gets called. That's when we pray. Go back to Jeremiah 17. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Not as that backup or contingency plan. Not as the last resort. That's not what God is. God is the one in whom all trust is placed. Not some, all of it. You see, God, when we think about Him and truly put Him in His place, all of our trust is in Him. And He goes on here as He is writing and He says, and whose hope is the Lord. Not just in the Lord, but is the Lord. You see that? That's who His hope is. Everything again in His life is placed right there in the Lord. His trust is there, but his hope is the Lord. That's because the Lord is the only source of hope that we can have. That hope doesn't come anywhere else. We sing the song, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I can't trust in anything of man. God, the Lord, is my source of hope. And it's only Him. My hope is the Lord. Because nowhere else can I look and be able to get salvation. Nowhere else can I turn. And no one else can I put anything in order to get to heaven. God alone is where I'm going to make sure that I have my hope. Here in Jeremiah 17, if you go down to verse number 13. O Lord, the hope of Israel. All who forsake you shall be ashamed. Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. You see that? So when we're planted there, that's that fountain of living waters. He is the one who produces life and gives life. It is only Him. Down in verse 17, do not be a terror to me. You are my hope in the day of doom. You're my hope. You. It is not in you, it just is you. You are my hope, that source of hope at all times. If we look at Psalm 31, Psalm 31. Notice beginning in verse 23. Oh, love the Lord, all you His saints. For the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. We are in Joshua chapter 1 this morning in our Bible class, weren't we? Be strong and of good courage. God will finish out there in verse number 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? He goes, He's told him, no one all the days of your life will be able to stand against you. Why? Because you have me. No one can stand against you. I'm the one, the place, the source of your hope. At all times, God is that source. Oh, love the Lord, all you His saints. You His people, you His children. Those that have chosen to follow after Him, love Him. And a way that we demonstrate that love is that my trust, my hope, nowhere else. Only in God. And only God is that source of hope that I have in my life. Look with me at 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses that we've turned to a lot here lately. But I want you to notice these words. 1 Peter chapter 1. We begin in verse number 18. Peter here writes, and he's writing to the church. He's writing to saints. Christians, those who have chosen to follow after God. And he says, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through Him believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your hope, your faith and hope are in God. There's where my faith is. There's where my hope is. When I think about these words, Jesus has been manifest, revealed, made known. And in Him, because of all that God did, not only am I purchased by that precious blood that He shed at the cross, but also because of what God did in raising Him from the dead, a plan that He put in place before the foundation of the world. Because of what God did, that causes my faith to be in Him. We've looked at faith specifically there towards the end of last year, but you think about faith and the fact that it comes by hearing the Word of God. We think about our faith and who we put it in, why it can be placed there. Jesus, over and over again, places like John 8, verse 24, unless you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. We have to believe in Him as the Son of God. That's what it causes. And because we can put our faith in Him, notice here, He also is our hope. That source of hope again that we have. That steadfast confidence, it's never ending. And He gives us no reason to ever put our trust or our hope anywhere else. Always blessed is that man. Go back to Jeremiah 17. Here comes the results of all of these things. We think about our faith and our hope being placed in God and being placed in the right place. What comes of this is that we get to have life, we get to produce fruit. We shall be that tree planted by the waters, which spread out its roots by the river. It spreads out that land, that ground. You know, when I was a kid, man, I made sure that that ground was soft and ready. It was broken up for those roots to be able to go down deep and spread out. You know, because of the Word of God, that's exactly what happens when we put our trust and He is our hope. What happens? We spread out. We are able to grow and to flourish. And we see those things that we get to be that tree that is planted. This is purposeful by the way that we live our life, because what God did for us was planned out. Just as we look there in 1 Peter 1, verse 20 tells us that before the foundation of the world, all of this was in place.
What God did for us was purposeful. Therefore, my life has to be purposeful as well, to be lived in Him. I have to make sure that my life is lived for that single purpose of being able to please God. Keep your finger here at Jeremiah 17 and go to Ezekiel 47. Ezekiel 47. The children of Israel are in captivity in Babylon. And Ezekiel has received these visions and gone back to the temple and been able to see all the source of God, that God was in everyone's life and what He intended for them, what He wanted for them. Here they are, because they've shunned God and turned their back on Him, followed after all of these other things. They find themselves for 70 years in Babylonian captivity. And here in Ezekiel 47, notice verse 7. When I returned there, along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and on the other. And then he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region, goes down in the valley and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the rivers go will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed. And everything will live wherever the river goes. It shall be that fishermen will stand by it from En-Gedi to En-Eglaim. They will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kinds as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. But its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. Along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither. Their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine. Do you see how all that healing takes place when we're planted by the waters? This is God, that source. Those that follow Him, those that grow up. Just like if you go back to Jeremiah 17, the same thing there. Children of Israel here in Ezekiel are at their lowest, right? We're in Babylonian captivity. We are separated from our homes, from our land. We're separated from the temple. We're separated from all of these things. God writes to say, I am that source. And in verse 8, that source is that tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, constantly fed, nourished, because they are fed by God, fed by what He would have them to do. Notice here a couple of things they do not do. They will not fear when the heat comes. So they don't fear when things go wrong. They don't fear when things get difficult. They don't fear when things happen in their lives. Notice you go on down. They're not going to be anxious either. We think about Philippians 4 and verse number 6. Be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. Speak to Him. Have that relationship. You know, those planted by the river, yes, it's purposeful because we also have that purpose and intent to have that type of relationship with God. What we want is to constantly be fed by Him. It's why we're blessed, why we're happy, because we look to Him. Again, He is our source of hope. It is in Him that we can place our trust and nowhere else. And so when we think about our life and being planted, we've got to understand that God was purposeful in intent, wanting the absolute best for you and I. Thinking about that idea, where do I put my life? Where do I go to as that source for everything in my life? Is it from God? Or am I trying to find that still a little bit from God, a little bit from the world, a little bit from God? It won't work out. It's all God or nothing. Those that are blessed, all their trust, only source of hope, always in the Lord, always. We're purposeful. We plan out what our day is going to look like. We purpose what our life is going to look like. We have to be purposeful people, looking for all the times that we can to spend time in God's Word, time in prayer, conversing with Him, helping those around us to do the same, looking for ways to be able to help out our brethren. Because notice what we get. He has life for us. We think about Psalm 1 there in verse number 3. Planted by the water, rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. That's the life that we lead. Whatever He does prospers. That's because it's purposeful, planned out to do what God would have us to do. That life that we receive from Him. Look with me at Proverbs 11 and verse 28. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 28. Here the writer says, "He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage." We think about all that comes, and we think about how beautiful it is when we have a rainy summer, rainy springs. What happens in the fall? Anybody like to drive across the Bottle Bridge down here and look on that hillside? We talk about the fall foliage, right? It is so beautiful. Watch those leaves as they turn and they change color, and that hillside, especially in the sun, man, it just gleams. It's beautiful. Do you see that this is what a Christian looks like at all times? Well, we shine. We are beautiful. That regardless of what's going on, people can look to us and know that we follow after God, that it's Him that we have put all of our trust. He is our source of hope. They see it in us. You think about John as he writes in 1 John chapter 2, beginning there about verse 15 down through verse 17. And he tells us not to trust in the things of the world. And you think about those things, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and that pride of life, or the boastful pride of life. And he goes on to say that all these things are the world fading away in the lust of it. But boy, he who lives for God, trusts in God, put his hope in God, he'll live forever. He abides for all time. Nothing in this world is going to be able to save us. We've got to put our trust and make sure that God is our only source of hope. It's Him that we trust in. And notice what takes place here. If you go back to Jeremiah 17 for just a moment, verse 8 finishes out. Not only does that leaf not wither, not only do the things in the year of drought, we're not anxious. But notice here that our fruit doesn't cease from yielding and being yielded. Where do we have to be? If I'm going to be producing fruit, then I've got to be in Christ. The last verse I'd ask you to turn to this morning is John 15. John chapter 15. Jesus is speaking to His disciples. That's the context. This is the night He is going to be betrayed. He is already in chapter 13 taking that towel after dinner, girded it about His waist and washed their feet. And He's teaching them, talking to them, reassuring them. He knows what's coming and what's about to happen. But what He's doing for them, what He's setting them up for, is to be eternally successful. He's not just setting them up for success here. He is setting them up for eternal success. And He tells them, beginning in verse 1, "I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Do you see where you bear much fruit? You can't do anything outside of Christ. He says, I am the true vine. I am that source, the only source that you can be planted in. Abide in me, my words in you. Allow them to fill you up, and you are the one who's producing fruit. And we're not by ourselves. When we abide in him, notice, my Father is the vine dresser. He's the one, if you're not going to bear fruit, he's going to prune you out. You're going to be cast into that pile, and that pile is going to be cast into the fire. But even if you're flourishing, he's going to continue to prune you so that you can continue to produce more and more and more. When you abide in me, when we abide in Christ, putting our trust, our hope in him, we continue to produce that fruit. Nothing else matters. Nothing else is able to come and take us over, because we abide in Christ where he would have us to be for all time. And I think about places like Romans chapter 6. I won't ask you to turn there. But I think about what it is to become a child of God and how we become that child. That we put off the things of the world. When we put Christ on, we're buried with him. We become that slave of righteousness, and that chapter is finished out. Paul says, I speak in human terms. I want you to understand the things that I am saying to you. And he says, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have in the things of which you're now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. What fruit did you produce when you lived a life that was not with Christ? You know, I often think, I was raised in the church. I was not a murderer. I haven't committed those things we might look on to say that's a horrible thing that that person has done. But I still knew what I was doing when I was sinning. When I wasn't doing what God would have me to do. And I might always tell you that I was always a good guy or a good person. That didn't mean I was godly. And it didn't mean that I was doing what God would have me to do. There were times in my life that I didn't do what God would have me to do. That I was still that slave of sin and not righteousness. When I came to that knowledge and that understanding, it doesn't mean that I don't still mess up and I don't still slip up and have those days when the devil wins. I am so thankful no longer to be that slave of sin, but rather to understand what it is to be a slave of righteousness. To put my trust in God. To let him be that source of hope in my life. And I'm so thankful for what Jesus did. We always think about Romans 6 and verse 23. The wages of sin is death. But if you back up a verse, but now having been set free, you see that? Set free from sin, having become slaves of righteousness, notice what happens. The result is, in the end, everlasting life. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, that free gift of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what we have to look forward to. That's the fruit that we bear. Fruit toward righteousness. Fruit toward eternal life. In Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptizer speaks to the Pharisees. Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? But come now and bear fruits worthy of repentance. Bear fruit. That fruit of righteousness. That fruit that doesn't fail. That fruit that at all times is bearing because, or being bore because, where we put our trust and our hope. Where's your trust and where's your hope? Let me ask you this question. I want you to think about your life this morning. Are you purposeful in where you are provided from? Meaning your job, your occupation, the things that you do in the world. Are we purposeful in those things? Yeah. I talked to my dad a few days ago, and they were going over some, they're retired, but he's going over some retirement things and just talking through some things. And he said, you know, I used to be really stringent and focused on where all of that stuff was going to come. And he said, I realized in the past few years that I put a lot more effort and emphasis into that being physically taken care of, and specifically your mom being taken care of. He said, I put more into that than I did about making sure that my eternal salvation was taken care of. It's not a bad thing to focus on the future and to make sure that those things are taken care of. Don't misunderstand me. But if that takes precedent over your salvation, then you need to change your focus. Something's got to give. Something's got to change. Yes, be prepared. But if you're not prepared spiritually, you can do all the preparing physically that you want, and it's not going to amount to anything. It's going to come to nothing. Fact is, he writes here, Paul does, that it's going to lead to death, eternal condemnation. Where are you at spiritually? Where are you planted? Are you as purposeful about your life with God as you are about everything else in your life? Or does that need to change? This morning, if we can help you change that outlook, we're here to do so. Perhaps this morning you've not put Christ on in baptism, and therefore you're not in Him. You're trying to bear fruit and do things outside of the true vine, and you can't do it. Jesus said, without me, it's impossible for you to do that. So you got to be in Him. Your faith has to be in Him. So you can put your trust so He can be your hope. You believe in Him. Be willing to confess His name. Be buried with Him in baptism, where you submit to His will, His authority, and His blood washes you clean. And you rise to walk in newness of life. Or perhaps this morning, as a child of God, you've been more purposeful with worldly things than with spiritual things, and that needs to change in your life. If we can help you in any way, we'd invite you to come now. As together we stand and sing the song. It's been selected.